Very good.
Are we gonna blow the shofar after we get through here?
Yeah.
Do we have a shofar? I'm gonna see if Denise will too.
Hello everybody, shalom and chag sameach. Where do we get started here? So if everyone wants to find seats. Thank you for those who are visiting and who welcome you. Make yourself at home. And we're live on Facebook. I want to say welcome to those on Facebook who are not able to attend. Specifically, I want to say hello to the Lugos. Jose Lugo is home today after. Upwards of 10 days, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in the hospital. So we're just praising God for the victory, for the healing and restoration. I know he was really excited to just have a good, strong cup of coffee. And I saw a photo of him linking all these oxygen tubes together to the coffee maker. So he's happy. He's here. What we're going to do is we're going to start off by just a quick teaching, an introductory teaching on Yom Kippur. And then many of you have prayers that you've been asked to read. But before I begin and we go into Yom Kippur, if anyone needs a schedule of our events this next week for the Feast of Tabernacles for Sukkot, we have these cards that are available. Just take as many as you would like. They're over there on that shelf, so on your way out, if you want to grab a schedule and give it to a friend or hang it on your refrigerator or put it on the dashboard of your car. Yeah, that way you'll know what's going on. And there's also phone numbers on the back if you have any questions and directions on the back if you have any questions about what's going on when. There'll be people who will be camping out all week there, people who just come up in the evenings. So we're going to start off real quick by, let me take this microphone here. Like I said, just kind of an introductory teaching because I like to teach about things before we do them. I like to explain why we're here and why we're doing something before we do that. Because so we're going to go through Yeshua our Yom Kippur. Today is the day of covering. And in English, we would translate it as the Day of Atonement. And that's not a great translation. I'll explain why here in a second. But the goal of this teaching is to show you how Yeshua fulfills a lot of the requirements of Yom Kippur. And Yeshua, for those who don't know, is Jesus of Nazareth, right? We call him by his Hebrew name, Yeshua. And he fulfills a lot of requirements of Yom Kippur. And we're going to go into a little bit of the book of Hebrews and explain. It could be a very kind of introductory course or teaching on the book of Hebrews and why the book of Hebrews was written, why the writer of Hebrews wrote it. So let me break this down real quick for you. Yom equals day in Hebrew. Kippur equals to cover or to seal up, as in like hiding something, okay? You know the story of Noah and the ark, right? Noah used this to seal up the ark. And you see here in red, it says, Ve'kafarta ota mibetz umichutz be'kofer. And he used kofer to cover up and seal up the ark. Right here is Genesis 6:14. So it gives you an idea what this day is all about. To kippur means to not wash something completely out or to take away from the record of, but rather to cover something up. Just like Noah used the pitch to cover up and to seal the holes in the ark. Now, what was the goal of this? What was the purpose of this? From the judgment that is due to us. I'm going to say it again as people are walking in here. The Kippur, the covering, the atonement, is to protect us and to shield us from the judgment we deserve. Amen. Okay? We're going to talk about how Yeshua comes in. I want to talk about some rabbinic thought on the idea of a kapara, of the idea of Kippur. It's a form of forgiveness which simply covers up. Okay, in other words, I'm not just making this up. This is what the rabbis say about this as well. Just covers up one sin on the surface, rendering it no longer visible, but it doesn't completely remove or wipe away said sin. Leviticus 16 is all about the Day of Atonement, the anniversary of today, what we're celebrating today. This is the day that the high priest would have gone into the Holy of Holies after identifying the scapegoat and the goat that was to be offered to Hashem, to God. And it says, and Aaron laid both his hands on the head of the live goat, and he confessed over it all the iniquities
of the people of Israel, all their transgression and all of their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of man who is in readiness. Now, we look at this and we don't know what iniquity is. We don't know what transgressions are. We don't know what sins are. It seems like they're all kind of just the same thing. But if you look at it in the original language, they're very, very different. Iniquities here in this verse is avon. Transgressions here in this verse is the Hebrew pesha. Sins here in this verse is chata. They're all three different types of sin. The Bible doesn't say this is sin, this is just one type of... The Bible has different types of sin. Did you know that? Different levels of severity of sin. And we're going to talk about which each one of these are. Chata is the least significant and least vile of these sins. It just means to miss a mark. And it's used, interestingly enough, in Judges 20, verse 16. Look at this verse. Among all these soldiers, there were 700 select troops who were left-handed, each of whom could sling a stone at a hare and not chata, not miss. In other words, they're aiming for it. So when we chata, it means we're aiming to keep God's commandments, but we just miss. We're trying to do the right thing, but we stumble. That's chata. The next type of sin, avon, is deliberate offense. It's to bend or to twist. It's the idea of manipulating his word to get what you want. All right? It's used in all these different passages here. We're not going to go through each and every one of them, but it's used in Psalm 38:6. I am bent and prostrated. I am avon and prostrate. And then as morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, get up, take away your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the avon of the city. The third and most severe type of sin, the most vile type of sin that we can commit is pesha. Pesha is an act of open and unrepentant rebellion. It is to break away, to throw off. It's the full knowledge of wrongdoing. It is celebrating evil. It's knowing you're doing evil and being prideful in doing it. That's the most wicked and vile form of the three sins. So we've got chata, avon, and pesha. Now let's talk about, because apart from the Yom Kippur offering, all the sacrifices mentioned in the Hebrew Bible, in the times of the tabernacle, the times of the temple, none of them took away intentional sin. None of them did. Apart from the Yom Kippur offering, there is no prescribed offering or gifts or sacrifices for avon and pesha, which are both intentional sins. So without Yom Kippur, there's no covering of those sins. Okay, so if we are part of the Jewish faith, right, and there's Orthodox Jews tonight in New York, or yesterday actually, in New York, who recognize this, and in Israel as well, who recognize that they read their Bibles and they say, we don't have a temple, we don't have a high priest, we cannot make a Yom Kippur offering, what shall we do? And they've created a ritual called kaparot, where they will actually take a live chicken and swing it above their heads and pronounce their sins and confess their sins into that chicken and then slaughter the chicken. And thousands upon thousands of chickens are lying dead in the streets because of that ritual. But they realize that there needs to be bloodshed in order to atone for the two types of intentional sin. So how do we atone for those kinds of sins? In summary, Yom Kippur is the linchpin service. What we're doing tonight is the linchpin service for the covering of Israel's intentional and unintentional sins. We/they depend on blood on the mercy seat for atonement. So what do we do, though, if there's no temple, if there's no high priest, if there's no Yom Kippur ritual going on right now? How are those sins atoned for? Daniel 9 says the following. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish, which is the Hebrew word finish there is chatam. Chatam, it means to seal up, to bring to a close the transgression, the pesha, and to put an end to the chata, and to atone for the avon. This is Daniel talking prophetically here. To bring in everlasting righteousness, and to chatam, both vision and prophet, and to anoint the most holy place. In other words, what Daniel is saying here, hundreds of years before the times of Yeshua, is that there's a set amount of time that the anointed one, the Mashiach, will come, and he will seal up, and he will put an end to chata, to not only chata, but to chata and avon, But not only those two, but chata, avon, and pesha, the three levels of sin, he will put an end to those things. And this brings us to the year 30. And many of you may already know what happened in the year 30. Yeshua of Nazareth was crucified outside the city, just like the Yom Kippur sacrifice was run out into the wilderness. What's interesting is the rabbis talk about this very odd event in the series of events that happened 40 years prior to the destruction of the temple that stood in Jerusalem. Does anyone remember what year the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem? 70. So 40 years prior to that is what? 30. When was Yeshua crucified? 30. So I'm going to read you straight copy and paste from the Talmud and what they say began in 30. And there's more than just on this page right here, but I'm not gonna suffer you guys through that. But you can research even more things, and they expound upon more and more. But they say this, and this is in, I believe, the Jerusalem town that Yoma, I don't remember what tractate exactly, but it has been taught, they said, 40 years before the destruction of the temple, which is what year? 30. The western light would go out. Now, the western light is the western light of the menorah, okay? They would always leave that one lit 24/7 and use that one to light the other ones. It was the western light, the rabbis say, was a picture and a symbol of the Shekinah, of the glory living in the temple. And if that went out, that was a bad sign. So for 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the western light went out. The crimson thread that they would tie to the door of the temple, it would remain crimson. Whereas before that, it would miraculously turn white. And the lot for the Lord, meaning when the high priest would cast lots for which goat is going to be sacrificed, which one is going to be let loose in the wilderness, the lot would always come up in the left hand, which was considered by them to be a bad sign. They would close the gates of the temple at night and get up in the morning and find the temple gates wide open again. And it freaked them out so much that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, he quoted Zechariah 11:1 saying, "O temple, why do you frighten us? We know that you will end up destroyed. For it has been said, 'Open your doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour your cedars.'" So the rabbis are perplexed about this, that in 30 CE, something began to change. Something was not accepted. Something was almost kind of like, it was a signal that something was going to come to an end for the time being. And it happened the same year that our master was crucified. This is just, it's Yoma 33b, what I just read to you here. Then the temple is destroyed, and the believers in Messiah Yeshua are distraught. They're either banned from the temple or it's already destroyed. And the writer of the book of Hebrews says, "Don't worry. Here's why. I know that you have no way to atone for your intentional sins anymore because that has been destroyed. Don't worry. Here's why. Yeshua is our high priest, presenting his blood on heaven's mercy seat to make atonement for sins past, present, and future." Just fulfilling what Daniel 9 said would need to happen, right? And here's another one. Hebrews 9:12. He, Yeshua, did not enter by the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place, just like the high priest did on earth, right? Once for all by his own blood, thus securing, or remember how Daniel said, sealing eternal redemption. Hebrews 10:10. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Messiah Yeshua once for all. That's what the book of Hebrews is all about. So don't worry. You can't go and bring a Yom Kippur offering. The sins of the nation of Israel cannot be atoned for with that right now. But we have a high priest operating in the heavenly realm who has paid the ultimate price. So I want to urge you guys, I would be remiss if I didn't say this. If you are living in open and unrepentant sin or secret unrepentant sin, make this your night to change and throw all of your sin throw it all at his feet and declare him Lord and sovereign over your life. We're just one heartbeat away from meeting him in eternity. And one heartbeat away from the books being opened to see if our name is in it. One heartbeat away. Lucy Peters' brother just passed away a couple days ago. Very unexpectedly. Very unexpectedly. And we, in our haughtiness, we think that we're guaranteed another year, another couple years. Guys, make this your night that you cry out to him and repent and plead with him, plead for his mercy. He has purchased you at a price. He's already paid the price for you. Accept the free gift. We're going to go to a series of prayers called the Slichot. These are mean basically prayers of apology. And our nation needs to make some apologies, doesn't it?
Yes.
And I need to make some apologies. And I would argue that many of you need to make apologies as well. And this, the next, 30, 40 minutes or so, we're just going to collectively do that. And then we're going to start with the Matovu, which is an ancient prayer that goes back from Exodus 15. From the book of Numbers. If you recall, Balaam and Balak are trying to curse the people of Israel from up high. And they're trying to curse them. And Balak has hired Balaam to curse the people of Israel. And he said, I can only do what the Lord puts in my mouth to say. And here's one of the songs that he says. We'll sing this. If you know it, sing it in Hebrew with me, and then we'll recite it in English.
Matovu, Ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha Yisrael. Matovu, Ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha Yisrael. Vani Baruchaskecha Avo Vetecha Eshtachavei Echa Kachecha Bayiratecha.
In English together. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. O Lord, through your abundant kindness, I will enter your house in awe. I will bow down toward your holy sanctuary. O Lord, I love the house where you dwell and the place where your glory resides. So I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. As for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant loving kindness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. Father of mercy, I come humbly before you this day. I confess that I have sinned much this past year, both against others and against you. At times I have rejected your counsel. Forgive me. Let these people not be ashamed because of me. May my sin not be held against my children or future generations. Judge me not according to my own righteousness, but according to the righteousness of my holy priest, Yeshua, who made atonement for me with his blood, which he shed for my salvation. I lift up my eyes to you. Help me lead these people whom you have placed under my leadership. As I come to you daily, draw me into ever-increasing intimacy with you. Show me your paths. Let me hear your voice. Teach me your ways, and may I lead this flock ever closer to you. Let me boldly proclaim your salvation. Give me courage, great strength, and keep showing me how to build up my faith. You alone are my rock, my hope, and my deliverer. You are my salvation. We're going to do the Baruch Hu.
Baruch Hu Adonai Mevorach.
Baruch Adonai Mevorach Leolam Vayeh.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One.
Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity.
Reader 1. If you could stand and recite your prayer.
The Lord is King. Behold the universe together. The Lord is King. You established heaven and earth. The Lord is King. You created man in your image. The Lord is King. The seraphim and all heaven declare the Lord is King. The psalms sing out that the Lord is king. Your people declare in never-ending worship, the Lord is king. Prayers arise continually because the Lord is king. May all our words declare, the Lord is king. Oh, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, the king. The Lord is king, the Lord was king, the Lord shall be king forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
But on the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonements. It shall be for you a day of holy convocation. You shall humble yourself and bring a fire offering to the Lord, and no manner of work shall you do on this day. For it is a day of atonements to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. And if they shall confess their sin and the sin of their fathers in their sin which they sinned against me, and also that they have walked contrary to me, I will also walk contrary to them and bring them into the land of their enemies. But if their uncircumcised heart is humbled, and they have paid for their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. I am he who blots out your trespasses for my sake, and I will not remember your sins. Cause me to remember. Let us enter into judgment together. Declare yourself that you may be justified. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a red heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctifies the purity of the flesh, so how much more then the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, will purify your conscience from dead works for the serving of the living God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Reader number 2.
Our God, God of our fathers, the kingdom of God is within us. We declare that Yeshua, he is king, and his kingdom shall rule in our lives. Of him it was written, this is Yeshua, the king of the Jews. In love and devotion we will follow him and keep his commandments. We will love you with all our heart, soul, and strength, and we will love our neighbors as ourselves. We will bring the good news of salvation to all who will receive it. For you are coming again with judgment, and in that day all the earth shall know that you are the King of Jews, King of kings and Lord of hosts.
The blessing for our Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher natan lanu haderech leYeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way to salvation in Messiah, Yeshua. Amen. And I invite you to stand with me and face towards the city of Jerusalem as we recite Shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. We face east because it's a biblical thing to do. Many of the prophets and the patriarchs face east towards the city of Jerusalem, as where God eternally placed his name and where Yeshua will return to. Let's recite the Shema in Hebrew together and in English.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Elah, Baruch Shem Kelow, Malch Kuto, Leolam Vayeh.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be his glorious name, forever and ever. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And let these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You can be seated.
Oh, say, fail.
This is for the sin, or the chatan that we mentioned earlier. Now, in this list that I'm going to read off is pretty much every possible sin that a human being can commit. And what we do as a community is we respond at the end of each section, we respond with the word amen. And this is asking for forgiveness for all these sins. So whether or not you've committed it, just respond together with amen. For all these sins, O God of forgiveness, forgive us and pardon us in Yeshua's name. For the sin we have committed against you, willingly or under compulsion. Amen. And for the sin we have committed against you by the hardening of our hearts.
Amen.
For the sin we have committed against you by acting without thinking.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by speaking perversely.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you through sexual impurity.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you secretly and openly.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you knowingly and deceitfully. For the sin that we have committed against you by offensive speech.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by wronging our neighbor.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by sinful meditation of our hearts.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by lewd association.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by insincere confession.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by spurning parents and teachers. For the sin that we have committed against you in presumption or in error.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by committing acts of violence.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by profaning your holy name.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by unclean speech.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by foolish talk.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you through the evil inclination. For the sin that we have committed against you knowingly and unknowingly.
Amen.
For all these sins, O God of forgiveness, forgive us and pardon us in Yeshua's name.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by denying and by lying.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by bribery.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by scoffing others.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by slander.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you in our business dealings.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you in eating or in drinking.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by charging usurious interest.
Amen.
For the sins that we have committed against you by arrogance and pride.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by speaking gossip.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by wanton glances and lust.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you with haughty eyes. For the sin that we have committed against you by insolence and rebellion.
Amen.
For all these sins, O God of forgiveness, forgive us and pardon us in Yeshua's name.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by rejecting our responsibility.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by contentiousness and quarreling.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by ensnaring our neighbor.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by being envious of others. For the sin that we have committed against you by levity.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by being stiff-necked.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by running to do evil.
Amen.
For the sins that we have committed against you by telling lies and mistruths.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by vain oaths and promises.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you by hatred without a cause. For the sins that we have committed against you by the breach of trust of others.
Amen.
For the sin that we have committed against you with confusion of mind.
Amen.
For all these sins, O God of forgiveness, forgive us and pardon us in Yeshua's name.
Amen.
We have trespassed, we have dealt deceitfully, we have stolen, we have slandered, we have acted perversely, we have done wrong, we have acted presumptuously, we have been violent, we have spoken lies, we have counseled evil, we have spoken falsely and have blasphemed. We have scoffed, we have rebelled, we have provoked, and we have oppressed. We have been stiff-necked, we have corrupted, and we have gone astray. But if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Reader number 3, if you would.
Our God and God of our fathers, you have given us this day as a time to examine and judge ourselves and look forward to Messiah's return. We remember Yeshua, our great high priest, who brought his own precious blood, the
the blood of atonement, into your most holy place. Through his blood, which cleanses us from sin, we now have our consciences purified from guilt and condemnation, and can serve you in love with pure devotion. You will bring this age to close with a shofar call, heralding a new age. Then nations shall learn war no more. The lion and the lamb shall lay down together in peace, and your name shall be one over all the earth.
Amen.
In that day, Israel shall be delivered and dwell in peace, and all the nations shall come to your light. The new Jerusalem and the new temple will be established with priests and Levites from among all peoples, and from one new moon to another, from one Shabbat to another, and on the appointed season of Sukkot, all flesh shall come to worship before you. We dedicate ourselves to you today for your purposes as living sacrifices. We consecrate ourselves to you, and we seek your will. Whatever you want us, wherever you want us to go, we will go. Whatever you want us to do, we will do. And whatever you want us to say, we will say. If there is anything you want us to change, show us, and we will do it. We seek you and desire your anointing, your manifest presence that breaks every yoke. Let it rest upon us, and we will be victorious.
Amen.
Reader number 4.
Our God and God of our fathers, we ask you to reveal yourself to us and give each one of us a personal revelation of who you are. Moses said that we must each personally come to know you in a very generation, in every generation, and Yeshua told us that we are to ask you, our Heavenly Father, who He, Yeshua, is, and then expect you to reveal it to us. We cannot do your will unless we know your voice. May the word, prayer, and prophetic revelation give us daily manna to know you better and to draw us into ever-increasing intimacy with our bridegroom, Yeshua.
Reader number 5.
Our God and God of our fathers, your agape love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is given to us. As your love is in us, we commit ourselves to be more like you, showing loving kindness, forgiveness, mercy, and compassion to all. The word says, let us love one another, for love of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. But he that loves not does not know God, for God is love. Let your love dominate our flesh and soul, that we may grow spiritually and be conformed to your image, which is our reasonable service.
Reader number 6.
Our God and God of our fathers, you have bestowed a great love upon us, that we should be called the children of God. We have entered your kingdom by humbling ourselves, turning to you in repentance, and becoming as little children. Abba, Father, we come before you today to receive your love anew, a love that never fails, and to experience the wonderful truth that we are accepted in the Beloved. We come in faith to you, desiring freedom in our lives from past hurts and disappointments. We make the choice today to forgive our earthly fathers for every way in which they have failed to be the father to us that you called them to be. I release my father to you and forgive him. I believe what your word says about you as my heavenly Father. I receive your unconditional love. I declare that the enemy's power of rejection over me is broken. Bless me, enlarge my territory, and keep me from evil. Give me fresh vision, heal my heart, and fill it with your love, joy, and peace. In Yeshua's name.
Reader number 7 with the prayer for breaking bondage.
Our God and God of our fathers, your word says that in Messiah we are new creations, and that old things have passed away and all things have become new. But some of the old things, sinful attitudes and behaviors, still dominate areas of my life and have not passed away. I'm not yet living a victorious life. So I now invite your word to divide between soul and spirit in me. I know that my spirit passed from death to life when I was born again, but my soul and flesh, that is my mind, emotions, and body, did not. According to your word, my spirit cannot sin. So the battle, therefore, is between my spirit and my flesh for the control of my mind. You said for us to be holy as you are holy. You said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I have tried to keep your commandments and to be holy, to avoid the will of my flesh by willpower, but I have not succeeded. But by the blood of Messiah Yeshua, you gave me a recreated spirit, devoid of any sin. I now choose in Yeshua's name
to abide in you, and I now tell my body and emotions to be in submission to my spirit. I now disassociate my personal identity from sin in my flesh and will no longer self-identify with sin. I will no longer say, I am just a critical person, or I am frequently depressed, or I have always been prone to lust, or that is just my temperament, the way that I am. Rather, I will now recognize no one, especially not myself, after my flesh. But I will now identify myself only with my true nature, my spirit, and Messiah in me, the hope of glory.
Reader number 8, prayer for vision.
Our God and God of our fathers, vision is one of our most valuable possessions, and we desire to increase it. We want to know our purpose and to see our vision grow and fulfill it. We will resist discouragement as it comes to blind us and cause us to lose our vision. We will resist fear, knowing that fear is not of you, and that it will keep us from fulfilling our destiny. But we will walk in faith, knowing that you are with us and aiding and abiding with you, and we will always see the way to go. If we fear only you, we will not fear anything else. We will follow our vision as far as we can see. The walls of fear around us and the fences which are delusions will not be able to stop us as long as we can see further. You will always provide us with the food and water we need for the journey. Let hunger and thirst keep us moving forward. When we find refreshments, let us rest as long as they last and then keep going. We will not let wounds or mistakes suffered on the journey turn us back or return us to bondage because of disappointments or failures. We will choose faith over fear, and we will keep going until we reach our destiny. Thank you for the patience and discipline we need to endure. For the greatest treasure is at the end of the longest, most difficult journey. We have faith in the Holy Spirit's ability to lead us into all truth over the enemy's power to deceive. We will walk in our vision, knowing that if we don't follow it, we will lose it. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many will come to the wedding feast, but few will be the bride.
Reader number 9, the prayer for our spiritual authority.
Our God and God of our fathers, we desire to exercise the authority you give us in the word to heal and deliver, keep our homes and families, and take ground for the kingdom. We will come to you and renew our inner man day by day, 2 Corinthians 4:16. By this, we will cultivate a meek and gentle spirit. We will love our neighbor as ourselves. As our inner man becomes more conformed to your image, we will gain more of your authority. We will walk trusting your word, doing what it says and obeying your commands. Our faith in your word puts our hearts at ease. Satan will no longer be able to linger in our presence. When we say to him, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, Amen. By the power of the blood, he will then have to flee. We trust you, Abba, in every situation through Yeshua. Thank you for all spiritual authority.
Amen. Reader number 10, for the prayer to break generational curses.
Our God and God of our fathers, Deuteronomy 30:19 says that you set before us life and death, blessing and cursing, and that we must choose life we and our future generations are to live. We know that Satan can operate in any area of darkness that we will still allow in our lives. Exodus 20 verse 5 and 34 verse 7 says that if we worship other gods, even the third and fourth generation may suffer because we have turned away from them. Perhaps there are people in my life that I have opened doors for curses to be placed upon me, to which I need to apply the blood of Yeshua to break these curses. Perhaps the propensity in my family certain medical problems as a result of generational curses and is not physiological or genetic in origin, areas which you are in control of anyway. It is up to me to make sure that Satan doesn't gain access to the next generation, as the blood of Yeshua will make him stop here now. I will stand up and fight. If Yeshua died to release me from all the sickness, oppression, and poverty, I will no longer sit back and allow the enemy to take any more ground from me. Release in me today your power and authority. Revelation 12, verse 11 says that Satan is overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and loving not our lives unto death. I now apply the blood of Yeshua with hyssop and faith, and the enemy must now pass over me. The things which I speak, my testimony will be positive, not negative, about victory over defeat, about strength over weakness. My testimony will rebuke the sin that surrounds me and not allow myself or my children to be attached to the areas of darkness by not speaking up. 1 Samuel 3, verse 13. Perhaps others have had an influence, or perhaps I have attached myself to areas of darkness instead. demons can operate in me, and I have not yet closed all the doors to these powers. I now confess sin and all the negativity that I have spoken. I chase away that darkness with light and break its power. I repent and turn away. I change my mind. I will not walk away from you, Lord, in this area anymore. I will not put myself in the hands of the devil any longer, but voluntarily I will follow you, Lord, in these areas of my life. Repentance will be my lifestyle. I will live for you and keep my deliverance. Your anointing destroys the yoke. As I live in the light, my anointing will be stronger. I plead the blood of Yeshua for your anointing to come over me. I release myself under your anointing, break the yoke of me. I apply the blood of Yeshua, knowing that your blood destroys the curses I suffer. And I now confess the iniquity of my forefathers. In Yeshua's name.
Reader 11, bless my soul prayer.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his rewards. Who forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. Who redeems my life from destruction. Who crowns me with loving kindness and compassion.
Reader number 12, with the lover of my soul.
Lover of my soul, compassionate Father, draw your servant to your will. Then your servant shall run like a deer to bow before your majesty. To him your friendship will be sweeter than the drippings of the honeycomb and any taste. Reveal yourself and spread upon me, my beloved, the shelter of your peace. Illuminate the earth with your glory, that we may rejoice and be glad with you. Come quickly, show love, for the appointed season has come, and show us grace as in the days of old.
To make atonements for Israel in the days of the temple, the high priest commenced a seven-day period of consecration before entering the Holy of Holies on Yom HaKippurim. The elders that sat in the gate gathered around him, duly impressed upon him the sacredness of his trust. The eyes of all Israel were turned to him. The high priest read aloud the Torah and realized fully the need of his own personal purification. He dared not pray for the forgiveness of others if he himself were not wholly pure. On the dawn of the ninth day of Tishrei, the priests, who also prepared themselves scrupulously for their holy task, escorted the high priest to the eastern gate, where they passed before him a portion of bullocks, he-goats, and sheep that would be offered in sacrifice, and instructed him in the rituals. Towards sunset, he partook of a frugal meal so that he would not become drowsy and close his eyes and sleep. All night long, the rules and the procedure of the atonement rituals were read and expounded. The high priest was well aware of the awesome responsibility being placed upon him. When the watchman proclaimed the dawn of the Day of Atonements, the high priest cleansed and bathed himself. And after meditation and prayer and meticulous self-scrutiny, he put on the golden garments and, with the assistance of many priests, made the various offering sacrifices while the Levites sang hymns of praise. Then, after removing the golden garments, the high priest put on white garments of linen and then made confession of his own sins, placing both his hands on the bullock that was for his personal sins. And this is what the high priest prayed. O God, I have sinned. I have committed iniquity. I have transgressed against you, both I and my household. By your sacred name, I beseech you, grant atonement for the sins I have sinned, the iniquities which I am guilty of, and the transgressions I have committed before you, both I and my household. As it is written in the Torah of Moses, your servant, for on this day atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you from all your sins before the Lord. You shall be clean. When the priests and the people who stood in the temple court heard the spoken name pronounced out of the mouth of the high priest in holiness and purity, they then bent the knee and bowed down and prostrated themselves onto the ground on their faces and exclaimed, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Leolam Vayed, or blessed be his name, his glorious sovereign name forever and ever. And the high priest would prolong the utterance of the spoken name until the people completed the blessing. Then he turned to them and said, Be clean, and you, O Lord, in your goodness, awake your compassion and forgive your righteous ones. Following the confession, the high priest went over to the east side of the temple court, to the north of the altar, along with his deputy at his right hand and the head of the priestly order at his left. There were two male goats, alike and equal, both in form and height, that had been placed there, which were to be the atonements for the sins of the children of Israel. Two lots that were made of gold were thrown together into a basket, from which the high priest drew one lot for the name of the Most High and one for the rocky steep Azazel. He cried aloud, A sin offering unto the Lord! They that heard him answered by blessing the name. The high priest then tied a scarlet ribbon around the head of the goat to be sent away and set it facing toward the place it was to be sent. Leaving the two goats in readiness, the high priest now went back and laid his hands on a bullock, which was a sin offering, the sons of Aaron, and proclaim, O God, I have sinned, I've committed iniquity, I've transgressed against you, both I and my household, the sons of Aaron, your holy priest. By your sacred name, I beseech you, grant atonement for the sins I have sinned, the iniquities which I am guilty of, and the transgressions I have committed before you, both I and my household, and the sons of Aaron, your holy priest, as it is written in the Torah of Moses, your servant. For on this day atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you from all your sins, but for the Lord you shall be clean. When the priests and the people who stood in the temple court heard the name spoken pronounced out of the mouth of the high priest in holiness and purity, they again bent a knee and bowed down and prostrated themselves on their faces and exclaimed, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Le'olam Vayed, blessed be his glorious name forever and ever. And the high priest would prolong the utterance of the spoken name until the people complete the blessing. Then he turned to them and said, Be clean, and you, O Lord, in your goodness, awake your compassion and forgive your priestly tribe. Following this second confession, the high priest sanctified his sin offering, and then, after being admonished and instructed once again regarding the awesome responsibilities, he entered the Holy of Holies with a censer filled with the finest powdered incense on a golden fire pan. Between the staves of the ark, and waited until the Holy of Holies was altogether filled with smoke. Stepping backward, the high priest then offered up a brief prayer. On coming out of the Holy of Holies, he took the blood of the bullock from the priest that had been stirring it, and re-entered the Holy of Holies, sprinkling the blood upon the ark cover, once up, seven times down, coming out it once again. And the goat designated for the sin offering was then slain by the high priest, who then re-entered the Holy of Holies and sprinkled the goat's blood, as he had the blood of the bullock. Coming out a third time, he went back in twice more to sprinkle various combinations of blood which had been mixed together from the various offerings. At this point, the high priest stepped over to the goat to be sent to Azazel and confessed over the sins and the guilt of all the people. O Lord, your people, the house of Israel, have sinned, have committed iniquity, and have transgressed before you. By your sacred name, I beseech you, grant atonement for the sins that they have sinned, the iniquities which they have been guilty of, and the transgressions of the people of the house of Israel have committed against you. As it is written in the Torah of Moses, your servant, for on this day atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you from all your sins before the Lord, you shall be clean. When the priests and the people who stood in the temple court heard the name spoken, pronounced out loud out of the mouth of the high priest in holiness and purity, they again bent their knees, bowed down, and prostrated themselves on their faces, and exclaimed, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Le'olam Vayed, blessed be his glorious sovereign name forever and ever. And the high priest would prolong the utterance of the spoken name until the people completed their blessing. Then he turned to them and said, Be clean, and you, O Lord, in your goodness, awake your compassion and forgive your people Israel. The high priest would then summon a priest who had been specifically designated and hand over to him the duty of taking the goat to the precipitous terrain in the barren wilderness, Azazel. Arriving there, the priest would divide the scarlet ribbon on its horn, half being tied to a rock and half between the horns. He would then push the goat backwards over a cliff, where it would roll over and over and be dismembered by the rocks before it got halfway down the mountain. The priest, observing this, would say, Thus may the sins of your people, the house of Israel, be wiped out. Meanwhile, the high priest took the bullock of the sin offering, and the goat had to be burned, and opened them up. He took out the parts reserved for the altar, which he put on a tray reserved for burning up on the altar. The remainder was tied on poles and sent away to be consumed outside the city. From the court of women, the high priest recited from a scroll the portions of Leviticus, and by heart, a portion in Numbers, dealing with the ritual of the Day of Atonements. He would close with eight blessings on the Torah, the temple service, the confession, the forgiveness of sins, the temple itself, Israel, the priests, and the remainder of the prayer. He then went through the various washings and clothing rituals, besides offering up the multitude of regular obligatory Sabbath and festival sacrifices. His day ended with a festive reception at his home, where he and his friends celebrated his having completed the ritual and coming forth alive from the Holy of Holies. He then prayed a special prayer for peace, blessing, and prosperity for the house of Israel during this coming year. But Messiah, appearing as a high priest of good things coming through the greater and more perfect temple, not made with hands, that is, not of human creation, nor through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered in once to the holy place, thereby obtaining eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a red heifer and sprinkling those that have been defiled sanctifies to the purity of the flesh, so how much more then the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, will purify your conscience from dead works for the serving of the living God. Hebrews 9:11-14. It is incumbent upon us to praise the Master of all, to ascribe greatness to the one who formed creation. For he has made us unlike the nations of the land, and has not placed us like the families of the earth. He has not made our portion like theirs, and our lot like the multitudes. And we bend the knee and bow, and then arise with the Lord, the King who reigns over us, the Holy One, blessed be He. He stretches out heaven and forms the earth's foundation. And the seat of His glory is in the heavens above, and the domain of His might is in the most exalted heights. He is our God, and there is no other. True is our King, there is nothing besides Him. As it is written in His Torah, and you shall know this day, and take to your heart, that the Lord alone, He is God. In the heavens above and on the earth below, there is none other. And it is said, the Lord shall be King over all the world, and on that day, the Lord will be one, and His name will be one. Reader number 13.
This shall be a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my Torah in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who divides the sea when the waves roar. The Lord of hosts is His name. If these ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done.
Reader number 14, with the closing of the gates.
And Yeshua is the atonement for our sins, and not for our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. For by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. What started in a temple with a high priest ends in a temple with the high priest.
Amen.
Our God and God of our fathers, as the gates of this Moed of this appointed season are closing, we're thankful that we've been able to use the time of memorial to remember your atoning work. For Yeshua, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, He sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Isaiah said, Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Is this not the fast I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, even that you pull off every yoke? We have come before you on this Moed, this appointed season, and we have humbled ourselves before you. We have confessed our sins to you and to our fellow man. We have made this Yom HaKippurim services for ourselves, for our own. We are thankful that for us, the closing of the gates of the Moed does not preclude us from confessing our sins to you any day of the year and receiving your forgiveness. We know that if we judge ourselves now, especially on this appointed season you designated for it, we will not stand ashamed before you on that day, but at the beam of judgment seat, the tapes of our lives are played.
You know, Yeshua says to the woman caught in adultery, your sins are forgiven, go and sin no more.
Yes, hallelujah.
And we will now recite the disciples' prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And then we're going to close the season of Teshuvah, the season of repentance, with the final shofar blast by Noah and Ted. And this closes out the 40 days of repentance and gets us to the point where we're ready to celebrate Sukkot in 5 days from now. It's a time of simcha, of joy, of rejoicing and celebrating. So let's recite the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who is in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Experiencing this is not the choicest of first time experiences, but it's one of our most solemn and I think, anointed times that you can spend with us as a visitor. But we want to say, visitors, we give you dibs through the line if you want to stick around and eat food with us. And kids, let's make sure visitors go through, and then elderly go through next, and make sure they get plenty of food. Thank you, guys, and we will see you Friday night for Sukkot.
Today was, yeah. Yeah, sundown, it ended.